Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. Welcome to Nightly Share. This is your host, Mordechai Plotzker, live from Hillside, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And very happy to be launching our very first, or my very first, Share Enjoyment Share. So, with that, I want to thank everybody, especially Mitch and Jake, for corralling me into the Zoom arena. And I'm looking forward to sharing many Divrei Torah in the future over Zoom. So tonight is really like a recap of Parsha Shmos. And what I'd like to try to do, since we had so many wonderful shiurim on this Parsha, which begins a whole new sefer, and Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam is how we began Bereishis. And Shmos is, as the Medrash Tanhuma brings down, something very powerful, that whereas we find in Bereishis that Cain and Hevel were unable to get along, and they ended up killing each other. Well, Cain killed Hevel, but what we find by Moshe and Aaron is the exact opposite. Hinei ma tovu manayim sheves achim gam yachad, says the Medrash Tanhuma, that although Moshe was a fugitive, he became a fugitive. We'll discuss this in just a moment of the law, and he had to run away after killing the Mitzri, after what the Mitzri had done to Shulamis bas Divri's husband. We find that even though Moshe was pushed out and he had to run away, as Moshe Rabbeinu later says, that I was saved by the hand of Paro, that means that he was on the chopping block and the executioner was about to execute Moshe with a big sword. And the Midrashim have different interpretations as to whether the neck of Moshe Rabbeinu became a pillar of stone or cement, or whether the executioner was distracted with something that may have occurred at the very moment. In either regard, it doesn't matter. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to flee, and he went to Midian, and there he met Zipporah, and there he married and raised a family. And Hashem says to him, "Now it's time for you to return." Aaron, however, was on the ground. He had boots on the ground, so it was a whole different experience for Aaron. People recognized Aaron, and later on, we find that if you want to really bring this into full motion, when Aaron passed away, all of the Jewish people mourned the passing of Aaron. But whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, when he passed away, many of the Jews mourned the passing of Moshe. Aaron was a different dynamic, and the people resonated well with him. He resonated well with the people. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu is being summoned, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "No, my brother, he's older than me. He should take the lead." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "No, I desire that you should take the lead." And then Aaron, on the same token, says, "My brother may be younger, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to lead, let him lead." And there was this back and forth of trying to bestow kavod, honor, until the onto the other, and each tried their very best to deflect from themselves and give back to their sibling. And I think that is hinei ma tovu manayim sheves achim gam yachad, that when Moshe Rabbeinu crossed the plains, the Medrash Tanhuma brings down that Aaron ran and hugged him and greeted him with ahava chiba, with such love, brotherly love. And this is how Moshe was reacclimated into the Egyptian society that he had to flee from. So I think there's something comforting, and despite the fact that there was a lot of challenges on the ground, I'd like to try to turn to the end of the parsha, because so much has been said on the beginning of the parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, as a little child, was brought into the house of Paro by Batya, and there was a challenge that they saw that there was something unique about this child. He was born circumcised. He radiated a certain glow. He was a preemie. He was born only after 6 months, but he was really a special child. So they brought a pottle, a cauldron of hot water, and another cauldron had not another bowl, another big container had a lot of gold. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was attracted to the gold as a little baby, and the Malach came along and pushed his hand so that he touched the scalding hot water. And to soothe his pain, he put it into his mouth, which singed his tongue. And afterwards, he became someone who stuttered and wasn't able to communicate effectively. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "I don't think I'm the right guy. I don't think I can communicate so well." So Hashem says, "Misam pela adam," like, who gave the ability for man to speak? I did. So you'll do fine. And if you really are so worried about it, then not to worry. Aaron will be your spokesperson, but you need to be present. And so this is the relationship that the two brothers had. And this is a relationship that really was, in a way, a tikkun, a rectification. Again, as we said, about the differences that Cain and Hevel had toward one another, about trying to please God. Here, Moshe and Aaron were trying to please one another and to honor each other at the same time, but not themselves. And so, what I'd like to try to turn my focus of the shiur tonight, even though we're starting 7 minutes in, is the tail end of the parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro and he says, Vayomro Paro Koma Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shalach, send away my nation so we can have a holiday in the desert. Vayomer Paro Mi Hashem Asher Ashma Bekolo, who is God that I should listen to his voice? L'shalach es Yisrael lo yadati es Hashem v'gam es Yisrael lo hashalach. I'm not planning on listening to anything you have to say. And then they responded back, we only need to go away for 3 days. V'nizbechol Hashem Elokeinu pen yifkainu. Stop bothering me and making a headache. Just go back and let the people do the work and stop interfering with progress. And then Paro again goes, this is back and forth. And then we find at the tail end that things are not improving. And Moshe Rabbeinu has a gripe. He says, Lama shalachti, like, why did you send me? Why did you send me? I'm looking for the language over here. Why did you send me to Lama Ariosa Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh Shlachtani? That's the puzzle. Why did you help me make the situation that much more difficult? Why did you send me? Umayaz Basi al Parla Daber Bishmecha, Erela Amazeh, Veitzalo Itzalta Samecha. A second gripe, a second. Imagine, who is this Moshe? And pardon me, because we might go over 5 minutes, because I need to develop this thought a little bit. How does Moshe Rabbeinu speak like this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where do we ever find a situation of where Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, any one of the Shvatim, did anyone ever speak like this before? Where does Moshe Rabbeinu feel comfortable complaining this way? And what lesson does it teach us about Moshe Rabbeinu? What is the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of this? And this is really a segue into Va'era, which we'll begin discussing tomorrow. Ayom Hashem Moshe Atah Tereh Asher Aseh LeParo Ki B'Yad Chazakah Yishalchem U'V'Yad Chazakah Yigarshem Me'Artzo. There's amazing things that are going to happen, but you gotta hold tight. Now let's just take a step back. Moshe Rabbeinu, unlike the Avos were given promises, and Avraham Avinu was told a promise. Avraham Avinu was told that he's going to have a great name. He's going to have wealth. He's going to have a child. And all of these things came about together with incredible nisyonos, most challenging circumstances that any one of us could undergo or even fathom undergoing. A famine, Sarah being taken captive, Lot, and Avraham Avinu pleading on behalf of, to fight against the five kings, and then going against the four kings. And then all of these things, we find that Avraham was not just a person of prayer, but also a warrior, and he was determined. And then we find Yitzchak, where Rivka is taken, and for a moment, then you find that the wells that Yitzchak had dug up from his father's time were stuffed again, and only the last one, Rechavos, is the one that was the gateway to Mea Shearim, that it was able to sustain itself. Yaakov Avinu, we find, did not have an easy life. Alayk hilascha b'ni, we said about this the other day. And you shall fall this, on me, says Rivka Imenu, shall fall this curse. Alay is Rosh HaTeva, says the Gra. Esav, love, and Yosef, there's going to be a lot of challenges. And if you step back and you ask yourself, hey, we're the Avos. We should have it easy. This is like, we're like the forefathers. Give us some slack. Allow us to enjoy life. What's so wrong with just relaxing for a little while? It doesn't work that way. Constant movement, constant challenge, but never a complaint. And then we find that Moshe Rabbeinu says things that to us are just incredible to digest. And they are, so to speak, cushioned at the tail end of the parsha. Many people are at that point already. They're already focusing on the Haftorah. Maybe someone has to step away for a few minutes. People are getting a little distracted at the tail end. So, what exactly is going on over here? As I'll say, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a tikkun of Noach, because Noach was a mamon v'eino mamon. Noah was a person who believed but didn't believe. He was working on the Teva for 120 years, but Hashem actually destroyed the world. Is that really possible? Rashi says that that's really part of us. We also are ma'aminim sometimes, but not a ma'amin. Take the medicine, sign the document, go to the doctor, take care of your health. All these things we tell ourselves because sickness won't ever happen. We're going to live forever. Everything's going to be fine. But we're human beings. We have challenges. We have to do these things as things that prevent certain ailments. But I just have to understand Moshe Rabbeinu for a moment. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I have impediments. There are people that we know that this is earnings season. Banks are going to come out with certain reports. Some banks are doing well, some are not. Some industries are doing better than others outside of banking. It's a challenging period where there's heightened interest rates and the cost of borrowing is it's just not productive for companies to borrow money because the interest rates are so high, much like consumers. So there are a lot of challenges and that affects the workforce. How do people rebound from being let go from a job, for example? What are the ways that we can look at these challenges and see something in ourselves? Why is it that when kids go to watch a football game, they have to get high on drugs? Why is it necessary? Why can't you just enjoy the game? Why do we need all of these enhancements? Whatever happened to just simply enjoying the game, so to speak? And the answer is that a lot of kids today, unfortunately, that they just need a lot of people need the basic level of attention. People need a certain level of understanding. People may feel that they're left out. And so the way that they feel that they could fit in is by having these, drugs or alcohol or all these other side issues that people have to contend with. Why is that all necessary? Sadly, this is the way that, some people look at Moshe Rabbeinu was a very much a human being. And we find that in this week's parsha, he has two parents, and these are the genealogy of his family line. And he's a real person and he has real challenges, just like all of us. And I think that's what sometimes we miss. We sometimes look at the Torah as a history book, but really it's a message for each of us. When Moshe Rabbeinu is unable to speak and he's the one who has to lead the Jewish people, you would think maybe God should find someone who can speak well and who is a great orator. Maybe that person should lead us all. No, Hashem says, I want to take the guy with the handicap and I want to prove to everybody just because you have a handicap or just because there's something that on the job description you may not know how to do and you might feel that that's the reason why you're not going to get the job. And I'm trying, there are people that are, I'm trying to help them get back on their feet on my own side, trying to help those. And I know what it's like to struggle from one job to the other. But I also recognize that in this parsha, we see amazing things. And we see that in next week's parsha says, who Moshe and Aaron? Who Aaron and Moshe? You guys think that it's easy? It's not easy. But the only way for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to exact miracles and to implement plagues, the likes of which the world has never seen before, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself in such a powerful way that created for us a level of emunah and bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome and mighty, and the seven makos, the next week's parsha, and the three that follow, and then Kriyas Yamsuf, and then Matan Torah, and then the adjudication of how to set up a governance structure. All these things have to happen when a person believes in themselves. When you see the power that you have in yourself, you walk into a room and someone doesn't respect you. Maybe there are 100 people in the room, 98 respect you, and two people don't. Are you going to go out of your way to try to get these people to respect you? No. You have to know in yourself that you are a special person, that you are an amazing person, that you are a confident person. And then when you go on a business adventure and you enter into a board meeting room and you have to present your case and argue you're walking in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's your confidant. That's who you're davening to. That's who you're walking in with. We have to feel this. We have to know this. We have to be able to experience it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, before I can release all of these makos on the Egyptians that have tormented you this way, I first need you to believe in yourself. I want you to have the confidence, the stamina, but more so the psychological freedom to understand that you are a great person. So much of what we do is in the mind. And when we walk into, let's say, a building or we walk into a house, we want to buy the house. I remember I walked into my house in Brooklyn. It was a fish tank and there was a crack in the fish tank and there was a dog and there was a carpeted floor and it stunk. But I saw something in that house and I ended up buying it. and I took out the fish tank and I ripped off the carpet and I saw something that maybe other people didn't see. Every one of us has that challenge. And Hashem is teaching us this very challenge that all of us experience in life. We have to use those as opportunities for growth. Moshe Rabbeinu had an impediment. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm not the right person, then maybe you should find somebody who's better suited than me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you because you have this incredible potential. You have to see it in yourself. We said this months ago, but I'll say it one more time. Elokim nisa Avram. The word nisa could have been replaced with bochein. Hashem tested him like a bochina. No, what does the word nisa mean? It means that Hashem saw in Avram a miracle that was going to take place. If you tell an Olympian that he has to throw a javelin 300 meters or jump 17, 18 feet, he'll say, yeah, that's possible. But if you tell the average person that they can do this, they'll tell you that you're crazy. There's no way I can do that. And the only way that a person can do that is if they challenge themselves to go beyond their physical limitations and see in themselves the miracle that really exists in each of us. And then once we have that confidence, we can propel ourselves forward. Who Moshe v'Aaron, who Aaron and Moshe? This is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it is you. You may see and you may find that this is not so great and that's not so perfect and this could be better, but Baruch Hashem for all the things I have and let's move forward. I want to give everyone this bracha because now we are 90 plus days and we're thinking about the Shvuyim, we're thinking about the Chatufim, we're thinking about the people that are held hostage and only one can only imagine. But we have to give ourselves confidence. We have to understand that our tefillos really have an impact on the chayalim in the field right now, that our tefillos, our davening, our learning, everything that we're doing has a powerful effect. The only way we can really actualize this is when we believe in ourselves and when we encourage others to believe in themselves, to have confidence that they can change the world for the better. And when we do this with a smile, we can really change the world for the better. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best. Shalom and bracha, and have a great week.
She was also sponsored Refuah Shleima, Moshe Zelig, Ben Rachel Devorah.
Thank you so much.